What is up? Week five in the books now, almost halfway through the season. And what a week it was. Nick is out. Put him on the bench. He's at Disney World. Congratulations. I think now two people have been at Disney during a show. Todd, Q, what a week of football. What are your first takeaways there, Q?
I would say surprising upsets, wins, swing of games, Ole Miss, Bama going up 28 and then almost blowing it at the end. Man, it was just a whirlwind. Tight game in Indiana, and then ended up being a blowout. It was a wild week every way around.
Smitty. Yeah, Friday night, what a wild ending to the Virginia Tech-Miami game.
Yeah. You know,
it's tough when you go to replay, but the call in the fields is one way, and I don't know if there was enough to overturn that. I think a lot of people thought that was just, we got to get one team that could get in the playoffs, and Virginia Tech ain't that team. So I don't know. Good game. I had the team points over with Virginia Tech. I gave that out on social, so that was a good winner. But, yeah, crazy. I mean, the Maryland, like you said, Maryland was there for a little bit. We'll get into some of these. Notre Dame, that was a track meet, which I didn't think that was going to come. Penn State game, I watched a lot of that. Great atmosphere, tight game for a little bit. And then how can you top the Bama-Georgia game? I went up to my wife all day. I waited for that game, and I said, man, what a disappointment. It's a blowout. And next thing you know, the next morning, I had to like fill her in how great the game became.
Yeah, what a wild game. And now Alabama goes to number one in the AP poll. And I posted on Twitter a little teaser because I wanted to talk about it. I hate Nick's not here, but do we have Bama bias once again? I know Nick Saban, he always got the benefit of the doubt, but why leapfrog Texas? It's not like they struggled to beat Mississippi State at all. I'm not really sure. Do you put them above Texas right now?
No.
I'd say no, too.
I think with Quinn Ewers playing, it's even with Arch Manning. Arch Manning's come in and looked like a starter, so it's not like there's really a drop-off between Quinn and Arch. So I just don't understand. Texas did start a little slow against Mississippi State, but they turned it on. I mean, they're down to their third string running back, and they're just dominating teams. I don't understand. Yes, Georgia lost to Alabama, but Texas has played your schedule. I don't see how they can leapfrog them personally. They've been blowing everybody out.
Yeah, I agree. I agree real quick with Q. You know, Texas, it was a little sleepy at the beginning, but they pulled away because, you know, when that game was somewhat close, I was like, how in the world are they not scoring? Because I watched the game the week before with Mississippi State and Florida. And I mean, Florida was just marching. I mean, that defense is atrocious. So, that's what happens some weeks. I mean, some of these teams sleepwalk a little bit, but they got it together. Texas should still be number one.
So my next question was, are Ole Miss's playoff hopes dead? I'm going to read to you the rest of their schedule. They go at South Carolina, at LSU, Oklahoma at home, at Arkansas, the big one against Georgia, and then Florida. I mean, realistically, this team could still go 10-2, but is that going to be enough? Or do they need that win over Georgia?
10-2 is going to put you right at that 12-14 range. I think there's going to be a two-loss team within the top 12, absolutely. If you lose to Georgia, you're 10-2. I think if you blow out the other teams, then you still stand a chance as long as you played a competitive game against Georgia. But I still think that they're alive. I can't think of 12 other teams that would be in ahead of them.
How about that Kentucky team? If they could have got that Georgia win. I mean, what a resume they would have had, beating Georgia maybe, and now beating Ole Miss. And again, that offense is not good. That quarterback,
Jekyll and Hyde team.
It is. Defense is always good. I mean, you know, we've talked about the coach maybe was going to leave for Texas A&M and how motivated the kids were going to be, knowing that coach kind of wanted to leave and then he came back. But you gotta tip your hat to him. I mean, they were right there with Georgia, and then great performance, really slowed down Ole Miss there too. So good job by Kentucky.
And then the other question, does Georgia miss the playoff? They go at Texas. They still have at Ole Miss, which we just talked about, and then Tennessee. That's I mean, tough. They could be looking at 9-3.
I could see them being a two-loss team. I don't know if they'll lose two of those games. It's at Texas will be tough. I think they can beat Ole Miss. Where do they have Tennessee?
November 16th.
Is it at home? I could see him squeaking by that. I mean, that helps being at home. Two losses, as long as they win two of those games they're in.
Yeah, I agree with Q. I think if they have two losses, they'll still get in. They can upset, you know, not even an upset, but just beat one of those teams. I think the schedule's so good. I mean, again, we always talk about the SEC. This, I mean, week in, week out. I mean, it is just tough football, and they always play really tough teams because everyone's usually pretty good in the top tier of that league. So, no, I think if they have two losses, they'll still get in.
Shout out to Nick watching us from Magic Kingdom. The Irish, they're sitting at 4-1, get a good win over Louisville. It's kind of coast time, but as we've seen with Notre Dame in the past, coasting is not always what you want to do. They've got a tough game. I think Navy, they could struggle with Navy. They look really good. Army looks really good. And then you close out the season at USC. Is a 10-2 Notre Dame team, are they in the playoff?
No. I don't think so
either.
I think an 11-1 team gets beat in the first round as well.
You got a sheet the rest of the way. Todd, what do you think?
I will say, and it was one of my best bets, I did not. And, you know, the only good thing is there's some really good cappers that were on that underplay too. And that game just was, I knew I was in trouble quick in that one. And then it slowed down, but I didn't think a lot of people had that being up and down in that game, but it was. But here's the thing. I'd probably say no, but it's Notre Dame and it's the name. If they can get that, they might get in.
I guess it depends on who they lost to also. Like if you already lost to NIU, that's starting to look like a bad loss. I mean, NIU is just dropping games now. I think.
Yeah. Not good.
I mean, what's a better loss to like an undefeated Navy or to USC?
Probably to USC.
I'd say USC.
So if you're going to lose one, lose it to USC. Traditional.
But then it's the last game of the year.
I know. It's recency bias.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Notre Dame, the only way they get in is if they win out the rest of the game. Yeah. All right. We've got a quick message from our new partner at Home Field Apparel. Then we'll get into our Pick'em contest and see those results. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Homefield has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today. All right, Nick is not here. This may be why he went 1-2, lost to 6-9.
If Nick's not here because of 1-2, I shouldn't be on the show either. So
get out. You're on the
podcast. Hey, thanks. It was great to see. I'll see everyone Friday.
So Ole Miss, yeah, they got punched in the mouth. Jackson Dart looked silly out there. Like
I thought that was a dicey play, honestly. I thought the first half, knowing what Kentucky did to Georgia, but I am very surprised that his Oregon team totaled over and not hitting.
Oh, yeah. If for those that did not stay up, I grabbed Oregon -6.5 in the first quarter, and Dylan Gabriel throws towards the end zone. It's an incomplete pass with 2 seconds remaining. The ball is on the ground. Clock should have been stopped. Clock operator rolled the clock to close out the first quarter. First play of the second quarter, they kick a field goal to go back up 10-3. I mean, just it's blatant cheating, as somebody said on Twitter. It's a bad beat either way. But that team total, right before halftime, you're about to go up. You're about to get 35 points out of this Oregon team. So all they have to do is score a touchdown in the second half, and you cash the over. What does Gabriel do? Throws a pick six 5 yards away from scoring a touchdown. And then they still don't get there.
You can't make it up sometimes. I mean, you just really can't.
And I joked, I texted you guys the next morning. I think Dan Lanning just hates to cover. I don't know what it is. I feel like he knows the spread and he's like, nah, I'm going to play it close for whatever reason. But then Indiana gets home. Impressive win. Kurt Cignetti, I'm buying the hype, man. He may jump ship and get a bigger name coaching job.
Hey, the Oregon coach might watch this show and just not like us and just try to piss us off. We were on.
Yeah, screw those guys.
Yeah.
All right, Q. Buffalo, not even close.
Nope.
Good job on the other two. You bought Michigan right when you needed to because they let that backdoor cover.
Almost yeah, that was crazy.
I almost would rather them lost the game. To just let Minnesota, who's a traditional running team. I mean, Minnesota runs the ball. We all know that. And all of a sudden, they become like this air raid offense in the last quarter. And Michigan couldn't do anything to stop them. And they're supposed to have one of the better secondaries in college football. They might have been at the concession stand. They got told in the third quarter to go home. The game's over. Because that was atrocious watching them just let Minnie drive down the field.
And that's twice. That's two times that they really, you know, you guys were on that one. Arkansas State. That's two straight times that their defense has looked fantastic. And then late in the game, for some reason, it's like they have no clue what they're doing.
It's wild. Nebraska started off slow. I was getting worried. But
it's Purdue. They get the win 28-10. Easy cover. Congratulations, Smitty.
Yeah, not what good. You know, 5-8 weekend, that Nebraska game, I tried to play some of the unders because there were some win conditions. That was one I gave out that actually did hit the Purdue-Nebraska under. Yeah, Baylor, real quick. Baylor, you can't go down 21-0. I mean, it just can't happen. And, I mean, that coach is in some trouble. I just didn't really understand some of the game plan for them. I mean, there were some fluky plays in that. Baylor then was getting momentum back, and then BYU did a fake punt that really changed the momentum late there in the third quarter. Baylor had a chance to win the game. I gave out the money line too, and I know a really good capper I'm friends with was on the money line also with me on them. Had a chance, but didn't pull it out. Like I said, the Louisville Notre Dame, never thought it was going to be that high scoring that quick. So what can you do there? That happens. The Bowling Green Old Dominion game really irritated me because – that one was, I mean, I know I was texting and was complaining about it, but there were some big plays. Old Dominion hit like a 76-yard touchdown pass. Bowling Green hit like a 58-yard touchdown pass. And then it actually slowed down, and it looked good. And Old Dominion, I think, held them, and then they needed like 80 yards in like maybe 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes. And Bowling Green had them to 4th and 6. You stop, you take knees, game's over. I win the bet. Now, what's Old Dominion do? Hit about a 30-yard pass on the 4th and 6, and then they go down and score with like about 15 seconds. So, you know, what can you do? 0-3. It stinks, but we move on.
Not under till it's over.
Yep.
Clean sweep of the board for me. Alabama gave me a mild heart attack there as Carson Beck just turned it on. And I was kind of dogging Georgia. I didn't think their offense was explosive enough to hang with Alabama. Also didn't think Alabama's offense was going to be able to score at will on this Georgia defense. But Ryan Williams, you probably heard it 1,000 times on the broadcast. Yeah, he's 17 years old. He's damn good. I think that catch on the sideline with the little juke move he did just made the Georgia defenders look stupid out there. UNLV, if you caught the tweet that we put out, Q and I both had Oklahoma there. We decided to scrap it since that injury report came out. Still covered, never in doubt. UNLV, though, looks like an absolute monster. That may have been the easiest bet on the board. And then Arkansas +4.5. We continue to play well enough to cover and be in games, but we can't win. Taylen Green looked awful behind an even more awful offensive line. And I just want to vent for a second. Is there not something that the offensive line is supposed to yell to the quarterback? Like Wolf, I know Wolf in basketball, when somebody gets past you and they're coming to strip sack you from behind, it happened twice. It was like the offensive line gave him no inclination that he was about to get lit up and he needed to protect the football. It's for an offensive guru, offensive line coach that is our head coach, it's just atrocious how bad this offensive line is. Just terrible.
Well, he's got bad pocket presence too. I mean, I think you are supposed to yell, but he just, to me, I don't know what it's doing. It's like he's processing too slow at times, and maybe he's not feeling that pocket. You know, he's going so slow, he can't put things in motion at the same time and almost do two things at once, and it costs him, you could tell. And then, Arkansas, I mean, they cover. They just can't win a game. But, you know, I always do my recap. I said Taylen Green ate it. The guy, like what you said, Matt, he can hit a wide-open receiver just like any of us probably could. He can run really fast when there's, you know, some gaps and some lanes. But outside of that, like if you're playing tight coverage, he just can't hit those spots real well. And that's, I think he takes Arkansas out of a lot of games in that aspect.
And this is the game where I felt like everybody's power ratings, had we won this game, I would have felt even better about it. But now that the power ratings have pretty much stayed stagnant, I think Arkansas is finally up to where I had them as far as the market goes. I make Tennessee like minus 17, minus 16 and a half. I think you can still get minus 13 and a half out there. Love Tennessee in this spot. Arkansas, for whatever reason, we don't play well at home. And we'll go ahead and get into the week six matchups. There's not really a ton of great games. But I think Tennessee, it's going to be under the lights. I think game day probably would have been there had we not lost to A&M. But I don't think it matters. Arkansas can't win at home. They haven't had a big win, except you look back, I think Texas, 3 years ago, that was probably our best home win. I just don't see us replicating any sort of success on offense against this Tennessee defense. And we know Nico Iamaliava is going to be able to score at will. Just kind of depends on if Josh Heupel wants to lay down on the pedal or not. But Friday night, we've got UNLV.
I love the Friday night game.
Syracuse. Love this matchup, man.
I think right now Syracuse is plus 5. You've got the new starter. He was a starter. Where did he play prior? Because he's a transfer.
Campbell.
Campbell, he started for them multiple years and came in. Like, the guy's a starter. He knows how to prepare like one. You know, he got Ricky White involved in the game, something Sluka wasn't doing. I know, you know, Ricky White was vocal about it on Twitter. But Syracuse looks good. Kyle McCord. What's the coach name? Fran something. I mean, they've got a good running back, Pena, the receiver. Like, this should be
Allen. Yeah, Allen's a good running back. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think UNLV is slightly favored, especially being at home. But don't sell out the orange just yet. I think this game's going to be close. I think Arcite had him at about 7-point loss.
And what was that? What did I send you guys Friday night? Somebody put on social media. I got to look it up again. The Friday night dogs are really covering.
It was like because 10-2 or something.
It was like, I think it was 8-2. I think it was 8-2 coming into this week. And then you had Virginia Tech with the cover. And then who was the other? Did Washington, did they cover against Rutgers? I can't remember if they did or not.
No, Rutgers won outright.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Washington, I think, were dogs in that game. Weren't they?
Yeah, they were, I think, plus 2.
Oh, okay. I thought Rutgers was.
Yeah.
Hey, so. I'll tell you, that Washington Michigan game is going to be pretty good. I mean, you know, national championship game right there. Will Rogers, obviously new coaching schemes for both coaches. This would be an interesting game here you really see the fall off from last year's, you know, national title game to what we have now in Sherrone Moore and with Jet Fish and
go for that. Yeah, you know, with that, the Washington kicker, I think he missed three attempts in that Rutgers game. So keep an eye on that. He missed some field goals that could maybe had them beat Rutgers on Friday night too. I know he missed one at the very end.
One that didn't make this card, but we'll always have the late night game, the get out game. Texas Tech at Arizona. I think that could be a really fun game between two unranked opponents.
Up and down. That could be up and down.
I think it'd be up and down. Yeah.
Yeah. Should be a lot of fun. Ohio State, Iowa. You want any part in backing the Hawkeyes here?
No.
I think they can lull this game to sleep.
I think if they were at home, but not at Columbus.
I might take a little peek at this. I might take a little peek. I mean, if they can really make it ugly, Ohio State again. Sometimes they get off a little slow. So,
Louisville, SMU. I like SMU in this spot. I think they're playing for a lot more than Louisville is at this point. I know SMU struggled in the beginning, but Rhett Lashley, that offense is going to be ready. I feel like they're going to score. They're going to score more than Notre Dame did, but, you know, sitting around a touchdown. I don't know. Does Louisville bounce back, or did they kind of play everything they could against Notre Dame? Which I feel like it's the latter. I feel like their best game, their best opportunity to try to win a big game was last week, and they just came up short.
Do they still have a shot at the ACC title?
Louisville?
Yeah. Are they in Clemson's division?
I don't know if they're – are they doing divisions?
I don't think they're doing divisions.
They got rid of them. That's right. It's just top 2 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you a team right now in the ACC, keep an eye on Clemson. They're putting points on.
I'm not buying Clemson. I think it's the boys to men again. I think they, even if they get there.
Scoring some points. You gotta,
Florida, they play Florida State this week, which was supposed to be a big game, but Florida State forgot they were playing this season.
DJU hurt his finger. That's such a travesty to the offense.
Hey, Klubnik right now too. I mean, every game it's five touchdowns. He's thrown for four, running for one, or like 3 and 2. Like, he's putting up numbers right now.
Texas A&M, a short favorite against Mizzou. That kind of surprises me. I like Missouri here.
I think the A&M defense could give Missouri some fits.
Yeah, we've said. I know Q's a big fan of the coach at Missouri, so, I mean, we'll keep an eye on that.
I just don't think they have much of an offense.
Well, they're – and we've talked about that on some shows. They really – for some of the weapons with the quarterback and the wide receiver, they haven't really put a lot of points on him. So.
Coming off a bye week, though, 11 a.m. game at College Station.
Well, Matt, not to cut you off, but we said that – on the show on Thursday with the Arizona Utah, and we said, you know, Arizona's coming off a bye, keep an eye on that, and you saw what happened there.
Yeah, and Utah, still the eighth wonder of the world, can't wear his Cam Rising.
Yeah, he's in that game.
Still don't think we see him all season long. UCF Florida, another one, little backyard brawl in the great state of Florida.
Man, I watched that game, and that was entertaining. Colorado, that was probably one of the best overall games Colorado's
played. To think that UCF was laying 2 touchdowns there, and I didn't bet it.
And I'm not even a fan of Colorado, but they actually ran the ball.
Colorado looked good.
Yeah, they did.
Well, Florida's got to be able to tackle KJ Jefferson. I mean, they beat Arkansas. They just couldn't beat KJ. Last year. So if they can't tackle him, then UCF's gonna win.
I'll tell you when he runs, he laid the wood on some people. Some people came up to try to tackle him.
He looks for somebody to hit.
He does. He knocked one guy, like a safety, and like stood over him. I mean, I bet the guy didn't know where he was. He hit him so hard. But yeah, that was Good job by Colorado. I mean, again, I've kind of dogged them a couple times, but that was a really overall great performance by Colorado this past weekend.
Then
I know we're going to get off, but can we give just a little rant with the UCF game? Can we stop giving Cam Newton a platform? Like, the whole he's coming to UCF. First off, he has no relations to that school. He shows up. He's trying to dog with Shadur and the guys who are starting to get ready for a game. Just let the guys get ready for a game. Like, nobody cares about you, Cam Newton. That's the reason you're not in the NFL anymore, because you're garbage now. All you can do is run. You complain about getting hit all the time, and you're out of the league. Like, let Travis Hunter, let Shadur get ready for the game they're about to play. That's ridiculous to make it about himself. Little rant.
South Carolina, I think coming off a bye, they host Ole Miss. You think Ole Miss gets right here? They're only laying minus 9.
Yeah, I think they cover. I think Ole Miss gets right. They know they can't lose another game. But I will say this. It's the whole Florida to Lane. You know, Ole Miss loses to Kentucky. I don't think the ceiling is as high at Ole Miss as it is Florida. So they lose this game. I think those talks could really heighten up here because Ole Miss and Florida on paper, the talent can be better at Florida than it can be Ole Miss. If South Carolina somehow wins this game, and now they're looking at two losses and maybe not making the playoff, makes the November meeting in Gainesville very interesting about who's going out to dinner the night before.
Well, that about wraps it up. You have anything else to close us out?
Got nothing.
Nope. Have a great week. We'll be back.
One second. Ken. Thanks for watching, Ken. Should have expected a Lane Kiffin favorite to lay an egg last week.
He always drops one.
That was usually it's the big game though. Game Lane is where he sucks. He's gonna have to get one back. I don't know. I like Ole Miss this weekend, I think.
I do too.
All right. Until Thursday, Friday. Still don't know when we're gonna do our show. Week six preview show Thursday. Good with that?
I'm good with it, yeah.
All right, there you go. We'll see you Thursday. Mm-hmm.